at some point you're like, I just don't care anymore. I don't care anymore if you think, if you believe me or if you don't believe me, or this is who I am. It brings me peace. This is what I'm experiencing. I am connecting with your energy. That's how I'm getting the information. I'm not just creating it. It's you and I together.
Hey guys, welcome back to the studio. Today we have Lisa Husher, intuitive coach, author, and transformational guide. Welcome to the studio, Lisa.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me, Mike. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You look beautiful today.
Thank you.
You know, I was listening to a podcast, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff with Christine Carlson, and you guys had a beautiful episode together. I thought that that was fantastic.
Yeah, she's incredible.
Yeah.
She's incredible. Her story's incredible.
It is. And she also, her and Heather Locklear joined me on a podcast, and we had a fantastic episode together. And we actually have a few people in common. Your friend Kim also, part of the Imperfectly Perfect campaign.
Yes. Yeah, she's my partner with High Vibe Soul Sisters.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Women's.
Both beautiful. That must be a beautiful soul experience.
Yes, it is. It is for sure.
Yeah. So, and just listening to your episode with Chris, and you and I spoke last week, we had a fantastic conversation, and you gave me a nice intuitive reading, and you're very tapped in and tuned in. And I love your journey into kind of tapping into your intuition, kind of experiencing that from the time you were a young child, actually. I was hoping you'd share with the audience a little bit about that, kind of following your intuition and tapping into those gifts.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to. And it definitely also crosses over to sort of that mental health thing, because, you know, when I was young, and when you're young and you're discovering things about yourself, and for me, it was my intuitive abilities, my form of expression wasn't always very appropriate because I was learning, like, what is this? So when I was like more in, you know, elementary school and that kind of thing, I would say things to my mom. I've mentioned this before, like where I'd mention, oh, so-and-so is going to get a divorce or this is going to happen. And I would say it out loud and the people wouldn't know yet that they're going to get a divorce or something's going to happen. And so everybody would look at me like the child that like should be quiet. And I was always thinking like, well, doesn't everybody know that? Or having that premonition maybe that someone's going to pass or those kinds of things. But I would just express it, you know,
it naturally
at school,
came
at home at the dinner table. So it's like, but, and so after a while it was, you know, kind of like, okay, maybe I need to just kind of keep it to myself. My mom was fine with it. My mom was very spiritual, very open to it. Then she would start asking me questions. Like, what do you think about this? Or what's going to happen here? And so, I started kind of closing up a little bit because I felt like, oh, I don't want people to look at me. And it's easier sort of in the background, just be quiet, be the good girl, you know, that kind of thing. Be the bookworm.
Yeah.
So I sort of became more, I mean, I still had friends, but I'd be more reclusive and not as fun and expressive as I was as a younger child. And then as I kind of put that inside and didn't really express it until later on. I think that not until like my early 20s, when I had a good group of friends that let me just be myself, you know, and validated that, like, you know what, you have a gift. It's okay to say it. You know, well, we just do it amongst our friends. And, you know, I would just start sharing that with them. And then in my early 20s, my mom passed. And that was, I always talk about that being the pivotal point for me, because she came the next night after she passed and we sat down. And so she told me what happens when you pass and what it's like. At the time I was like, oh, wow. You know, and thank you for coming and I miss you. And, but then, you know, the next day I don't remember on a conscious level a lot, but inside I remember, what she told me. And I also wrote a whole poem in the middle of the night after she had left. Like, she came, sat on my bed, talked to me, and then she left, and I wrote this whole poem. So at her service, I read the poem. I got up and read it to everybody. And it was really about her when she passed, and it was, and she had a smile on her face. It was about her having a smile on her face and about her family greeting her and her mother greeting her and how happy she was that she was cancer free and she didn't have any pain anymore. So it was really like a celebratory poem. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Everybody's crying. I'm like, oh, everybody's crying again. You know, here we go.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, it was really incredible. That was in my early 20s. So I've saved that. But what it gave me was sharing that with people and bringing peace to them and bringing closure was such a gift back to me. I didn't realize it because it did come naturally and easily, but they were so grateful for having that, you know, for experiencing that with me. So that was kind of the pivotal moment where I felt a little bit more like, okay, this is who I am. I'm going to start embracing it more.
Yeah, I love it. And I love that you share those gifts with others. And, you know, you're also an author and you've been able to share your word through, you know, your books and, you know, just being an intuitive guide for people. I think that that's very, it's very unique. And especially to be able to tap into that as a young child and kind of have to navigate through that, because that's got to be an evolutional journey throughout the rest of your life. You know, it just kind of, I'm sure you've had like ebbs and flows with that at different points.
Yeah. And I think too, what I tell people, because there's such a stigma also with, and I call myself an intuitive guide, but there's a stigma with things. People get confused with religion, with all sorts of things. And I tell people it's about love. We all are connected to love and we all receive messages in our own unique way. So it has nothing to do with religion.
I believe in that too. And I understand. So I'm not quite as dialed in as you, but when we spoke last week over the phone, I shared a few, you know, stories with you and some of my experiences. And I began to tap in to the signs. So I started paying attention when I was on my spiritual path. Things started to become very aware. I started to become very aware of things, you know, when numerology, I started paying attention to patterns and numbers, feathers, and just scenarios. I spent a lot of time out in the woods, and I was going through this very, what I thought was a dark time, but it was actually bringing me to light. There was a white deer that would visit me. I turned around one day and there was this white deer. I have tons of pictures. I'll send them.
Wow.
I think I shared some with Chris Carlson. And yeah, it began over that relationship with that deer. Evolved over the course of a few years, I would go and that deer would just appear and sit there for hours. And sometimes I left before the deer did.
And wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, I started paying attention to things like that because I was so deep in despair during that time. I was praying, you know, heavily, and I was looking for answers, and I was starting my nonprofit at that time, and I had quite a bit of adversity during that time, and I was questioning everything and my life path and all of those things, and that's when I was, you know, I was asking for signs and they were literally right in front of me. And, you know, I lost my brother, you know, he was just 27 years old. We were 5 years apart. Yeah. He was older than me. My birthday is December 22nd and his is Christmas Eve, 12/24. And, so we were, you know, we always celebrated our birthdays together. And, And so that was a profound loss for me. And, you know, there was times when I would be thinking about him and I would talk to him, you know, and I would be driving, and then all of a sudden, like, his birth date would be on the license plate in front of me, or the last four digits of his phone number, or our childhood address. Mm. Like, these things.
So that's the way he communicate. And I didn't know that. And when we initially talked to last week or whatever, I said, the first thing I said to you was about the male energy around you.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about that. I didn't know that he had passed. Is he younger than you?
He was older than me, 5 years older. I had two older brothers.
Okay. You were the youngest?
I'm the baby. Yeah. So they were 5 years older than me. They were both born. They were born 10 months apart in the same year. So one was born on the leap on February 29th. And then in the same year following, my other brother, Scott, the one that passed away, was born on Christmas Eve. So the Irish twins, I think they call that.
How funny. But are you taller than him, or was he taller than you? He's older than you, but...
Older than me? I think we're all the same height. I think my oldest brother was 6'1", but I'm 6 foot, and I think he was 6 feet also.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was, you know, just me kind of, those were the first times I had profound signs coming my way, like with the white deer, and then feathers too were a thing. Like, these feathers would pop up in random situations where you wouldn't normally find a feather. And you know, I also lost my grandmother, and I was present when she passed. I was I was with her, and I had a few different scenarios pop up where I would be thinking about her, and again with the feathers and the numerology and different situations. I was purchasing a home. I was buying a house, actually. Mm-hmm. And you know, there was just a whole scenario that played out with her and my grandfather. They collected these mooses, and they were very unique, these mooses. And when I was purchasing this house, it was sometime in the summer, and there was this mat by the front door. When I found the house, I noticed the mat, and there it said Merry Christmas, and it was those very mooses that my grandparents, you know, collected around their house that was on that mat. And then I found a white feather, like, in a place on the property that you wouldn't, you know,
that's incredible.
Yeah, that you wouldn't find a feather on. So, like, I started, like, having those types of experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, those, you tap into that, you pay attention, and then you just start reading up on things, and you find other people that these things happened, that, you know, these things are happening for, and you kind of look into the why, and just start paying attention to the signs. And I know some people think you're crazy, and then you don't want to share. And so, like you said, you become a recluse, and then you just lock up on it. And I did that because I would, I would share certain scenarios with people, and they would just, it would, you know, fall flat. So.
Right. And the other thing too, is it's like, you know, you at some point you're like, I just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I don't care anymore. If you believe me, or if you don't believe me, or this is who I am. It brings me peace. This is what I'm experiencing. Right?
It's like, absolutely.
You are experiencing that, and you're connecting with it, and it's real.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's real.
And the number patterns too. It's like, you couldn't make it up. It was like, it would happen to me so often. You're looking at the clock, and it's 4:44, 2:22, 3:33, 11:11, like nonstop. And then to a point where I had to start looking into that, because I had never, this is years and years ago that it started happening, but it happened so much to me that I actually had to start Googling things. It's like, what's going on with this? And then you start getting into the books and paying attention to the signs, connecting with other people that get it, and then you tap it, you start tapping in.
Yeah. And it, and I talk about that too. It's like, we all have unique ways of, like, some people have a, like, a bird or an animal for that they see, right? Like, you know, like, whether the deer is real or not, who knows, right? That you saw, who
I have photos of it. It was real. I mean, I have the photos, but I don't know.
I meant, like, sometimes people see things that are real to them, and it might not be, other people might not see them, is what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
You know, signs or, we loved ones that have passed. And it brings us a lot of peace. I'm sure it brought you a lot of peace when you went out there and you saw the deer.
It did, because I was in
That
such
was
a
like, you were
dark,
like,
yes, I was in such a dark place that deer would come sit by me. Close enough sometimes that I could almost reach out and touch it, but I never did because I didn't want to disrespect the deer's space. So like I said, I would sit there for hours and I would just kind of communicate with the deer, and I guess kind of maybe in a telepathic way. I don't know that I spoke out loud, but kind of when you're in those moments, you're not really paying attention because you're just in the moment. So like a few times I took pictures. I never thought, yeah, I think I did take one recording when she was eating one morning, but she was in the water and I got like a quick video, but I didn't really spend too much time taking photos and doing those things. I have.
Yeah, you weren't thinking about that.
Yeah,
That's
no,
not.
I did in the beginning because I was just so like dumbfounded by the fact that was happening. And that she would come so close to me and stay for so long, like I said. And if I planned it, like if I went and I wanted to go see the deer, like I would bring food for the deer, like carrots or potatoes and things like this. And I wouldn't see her. I wouldn't see her that day. So it was always kind of when I went and just kind of didn't expect
Where I
sometimes.
wasn't safe, unplanned.
Yeah, but there was a time when my father had flown in from out of state and he was fascinated because I would send him pictures of the deer. He had never seen a white deer. Most people haven't. So if you Google that, the odds of having that experience, I mean, the numbers are quite astronomical. And there's tons of information on the spiritual thing that's taking place when that happens. And so he flew in to visit me, and I told him, I said, now I'll take you there. I don't know that we'll see her. I said, I can't guarantee that because I said, typically, if I go with the intent, it doesn't work out that way. I'm like, she usually comes to me when I'm like not expecting it, and then she's just there. So he comes into town, and I take him to my spot, and boom, she walked right across our path and just stayed there. And he got to take pictures and like she kind of interacted and played for the photos. Like they're the best, a few of the best photos that I have. And he was just like completely fascinated by that. And yeah, so I was shocked that she showed up, that day because I really went to show my father, if she was going to grace us with her presence or not. I didn't know.
What is the significance? Did you like read on as far as the spirituality, the significance of that, of the white deer? Is
Yeah,
there
it's pretty deep. There's a lot of there's spirit animals that you can get into, and it's quite a bit to get into, but there's the white stag, the story of the white stag, and they're sacred, and it's illegal to kill a white deer, so they can't be hunted, so they're protected. That's another thing too. Yeah, it's a
So
lot.
you don't think it was like your grandmother like taking a different form or anything? It was just it
My
was
grandmother had not passed away at that point, but
okay.
my
So it was
brother had, though. Yeah.
right. But But you connect with your brother in other ways.
I believe so. So through music, like I said, through music and just paying attention to the signs. I mean, you have those things happen. I mean, there can only be so many coincidences. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is, then you start paying attention. You're like, well, that's odd because I was literally just thinking about you. And like, certain music will trigger a memory. And then you're thinking, you can't stop a thought or a memory from coming into your mind. And then, you're driving down the road thinking about this person. And then, boom, you come to a stop sign in front of you, and the car in front of you has got his telephone number on the license plate. You know what I mean? Or you look at a sign or an address and you show up somewhere and like his name's on something. You know what I mean? You just start seeing those things and it's like it's just smacking you in the face. It's like, hello, there's more out there. And I did share with you, years ago, I was very skeptical, but I had a friend of mine went to an intu went wanted to go see an intuitive, and I went along on that visit, and I got a reading myself. And like I said, I was kind of closed off to that, but I had taken notes because she advised me to take notes, and she took notes, and then I had both of our, both of our collective notes when I left that reading. And I told you, I think I did that reading like, I don't know, 9, 10 years ago, some you know, exorbitant amount of time, and the things started happening. So like the thing, it was, I kind of saw her as a clairvoyant as the things unfolded for me. And I stopped telling this story because it just, people just looked at me like I was crazy when I would share the information, but I was like, no, it's legit, because she couldn't have known those things. And she described very specific people to me that unfolded as the years went on. And, you know, she kind of, it was like she forecasted the start of my business, me kind of making my exit from the organization I had been with for 20 years. I never thought I was leaving that organization. I never thought, as she described things to me, that they could possibly play out the way that she laid it out for me. I said that would never happen. I was very indignant, a little indignant during that.
You indignant?
During that reading, I was like, that would never happen. And then, wow, sure enough, I was going through all of this adversity, and the things started to unfold right before my very eyes. And I started feeling like senses of deja vu. I'm like, why does this feel familiar to me? And I had since stopped talking to that friend that I went to see that intuitive with. We had fallen out of touch, and it had been years since we spoke. And I reached out to that friend, and I was like, what was the name of the person that we went and spoke to? Because, you know, I started digging through my paperwork. I save random things forever. Like, I'm not a hoarder by any means, but I will save small tokens, you know, from friendships or what have you. But I saved that paper. I saved that paperwork. And I started digging through my things. And I was like, wow, sure enough, these things started to happen. And I had to get back in touch with that person just to tell her. I said, I don't know if you remember me, but I saw you all these years ago. And I said, all of these things started happening. And it's like, I think I told you when we were on the phone, I said that friggin' reading was like the gift that keeps on giving, because I'm still like, these things unfold and I keep tapping back. I keep flashing back to that reading and I keep thinking like, how the hell long was that reading? How long was that reading? Was it a full day? Because it seems like the things still keep unfolding, and it was so spot on, but I just couldn't see it at the time.
Yeah, that's, and I tell a lot of people that too. It's like when they're like, I'm like, well, that's fine. I'll write it down, text me in 6 months, or, you know, star that one, and I'll, you know, so, and they'll call me like, do you remember when you told me to call you and to text you? And like, yes. I won't remember everything because I'm channeling, and so I don't remember the specifics. That's why I tell them, write it down, star, and then let me know. It's validation for me. And it's also validation for them too.
You know, I had never had an experience like that before. Mm-hmm. And so the thing for me was, when I went, you know, she had asked, is there anything, like there were pre-questions, I think via email, we were communicating via email or something like that. And she had asked some things like, was there anything specifically that you were looking to get clarification on? And I said, no. I said, but I have lost a brother, and he passed away. And that was all I had, really. I said, maybe is there any communication that he might be trying to get across to me? The circumstances of his death were, you know, unfortunate and very upsetting for me and my family. And I wanted some clarification on some things. And that was the only thing I could come up with, like, to give her, like, and so when we sat down, that's not what came through, because the only, you know, what comes through comes through. Like, I understand it now. Like, when you're tapping in and the thing is happening, like, what comes through comes through. It's like, you can't force the thing. The person, the intuitive, can't force the thing. It is what it is. And I watched it, that unfold. And everything she gave me was all about my career, my business, and the business that I have today, and the two others that I'm starting, you know, or that I have started, you know, I have three. And that was it. It wasn't like she gave me these things and I put them in place because I heard them. They all unfolded organically in a way I thought could never happen. So it was very unique. And like I said, it's like the reading that keeps on giving, because the things keep unfolding, you know.
That's awesome.
But is
That's
that the
awesome.
same for you? Is it the same for you, like where when someone comes to you and you ask, is there something you want clarification on? Do you think that there's times when you can tap into certain people to give them clarification in a certain area? Or is it just kind of like what comes to you when you're with that person?
No, I think most of the time, I mean, for you, I think with the question with your brother too, and a lot of the times that's a very sensitive thing, and it can be more mediumship, or it's a little bit different than just doing like an intuitive. So I see why it went the way, because she would have to also ask him permission too to get something from him to communicate to you. But I always do that. I always ask people to come with me with like a question or a prompt, and I tell them, make it meaningful, make it purposeful, because I am connecting with your energy. That's how I'm getting the information. I'm not just creating it. It's you and I together. The energy, that's how I'm receiving. So if it's important to you, it's important to me. If it's not important to you and you don't really care, then I can't help you. So when people kind of like understand that they're accountable as well, it's not just me. Don't just sit back and chill. Like we're doing this together. That they come up with things that are very important to them. It's helpful to me. Typically, I can take the question and very much help them, guide them. I will ask them if I do feel energy of somebody that has passed. I will ask them about that and get their clarification on that and say, would you like me to, see if I can connect? Or, I always get permission on everything from people. I don't just step in. 'Cause I learned that the hard way when I was younger, like, oh, so and so is saying this or this, and people are like, what, you're that's cruddy nutty. So now I don't do that. But I'm pretty much able to, take people along the guide that they're asking me. And a lot of the times it is, the questions about career, the questions about relationships, those are the top ones. Sometimes we get into more blocks in childhood and things like that and how that affects them, in their current life. But, and then sometimes it ends up being mediumship where I'm just chatting along with somebody. So that happens too.
But the person, like you mentioned, they have to be open. You have to have an open heart to the experience. And like I said, when I had met Sherry, the woman that I was speaking to, I wasn't so open, but I wasn't totally closed off. So again, like as I
It sounds
explained,
like she did a pretty good job
she did a very good job. And she
because
told me.
that can be very difficult when if somebody's closed off, a lot of the times it's uncomfortable for me. And so I'll have to say this is a struggle for me because I have to get in there, If you're not allowing me, then I don't have tools
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. I wasn't completely closed off. I just didn't have anything really, like I didn't give her a ton. You know what I mean? That's why I said I understood the process and it was, and she is a medium also. You know what I mean? So that's kind of where I went with maybe giving her the information regarding my brother. That was really all I could come up with that I felt like at the time. I was also a lot younger back then too. You know what I mean? So I just wasn't tuned in like I am now. And so I had never met someone like her before. And she told me during the reading, every now and again I get someone like you, she said. I had to laugh when she said
You're
that.
like, you're welcome.
Yeah, right. And then she said, every now and again I get someone like you. And then well, we became friends. So we're still in touch to this day. Like
Oh,
I go see
wonderful.
her. Yeah, we're in touch. Absolutely.
Oh, that's
Because
wonderful.
I mean that was a lot for me to take in as the things unfolded. I mean, that blew my mind. It changed my perspective on a lot of things. That's when I was doing the deep spiritual digging. And, during the time, all of those things started unfolding from that reading when I was seeing the white deer. So it was, I don't know, it was a unique experience for me. Like I said, I really don't share much anymore about that with people because they don't know what to do with that information. So it just depends on, who's open to hearing stories like that and about experiences like that. 'Cause everyone, different people have different experiences and, I'm open to hearing everybody's. And that's why I was so
Me
happy to
too.
connect with you because like I said, you have an amazing intuitive journey that you've been on, and you're so dialed in with it. And I think, I was listening to your podcast with Chris Carlson, and she was sharing the experience. You shared at the beginning of the podcast the experience regarding your mother coming to see you and sitting on the end of the bed, and you had that conversation with her. And then Chris shared a story about her daughter Jazz, her wedding, and how Richard, was very much present during that time, and the dragonflies, and it was interesting. I was having a bit of a rough go today, and I needed to go for a walk and clear my head. And I was out on this walk, and I never see a dragonfly on this path that I go. And I took a picture. I'm going to send it to you. There was a dragonfly, a blue one, and on my walk, and I took a picture of it on the ground. And I had already listened to that episode of you and Chris while she shared that story up on Mount Shasta, and the smoke cleared, and then the dragonflies came, and what a beautiful experience that was. And then I happened to see the dragonfly today on my walk. I'm just like, God damn, you can't make this shit up. No,
You can't. And there's magic everywhere. There's magic everywhere. And everybody experiences it differently. And it's, we're here on Earth, but man, does it give us a lot of peace to connect with that magic, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Helps us, right?
Yes.
With faith and knowing that we have support that we can't see.
Absolutely. That was a game changer for me. It opened me up in so many ways because I was raised, my father had his own religious beliefs, and he tried to raise us boys with his beliefs. He wasn't into us being open to finding our own spiritual path. So I, none of that. Remember when we were talking, you asked me if I was very inquisitive as a child.
Oh yeah, did you ask your mom?
I did, and I was, and it was always about the religious aspect of things, because we had to, like I did, church was a big part of our life, and then like always going off to church camps over the summer and things like this. And I kind of went in the other direction as far as dialing out to look for my own spiritual path to understand things that resonated better with me. And like I said, like going to see Sherry during that time helped me figure out that spiritual path and understand things better, because certain things make sense to me on that end of things and certain things don't. And so I needed to find my way, my path, through my own experiences. And like, I think someone that might feel lost or confused that might find their way to someone like you or Sherry, that's a big game changer for people, because it can open up doors for you spiritually that you might not be tuned into, prior.
And it sounds like too, with your experience, and now you talk about how like the gift that keeps on giving, it's she connected you with your voice, your inside voice. And so then you started listening to that. And that's why you're like, oh, she told me this, or because you were listening, you were open and you were being guided and you were making those choices. Because we're given choices and opportunities. We can choose them or not choose them, But you were aware and connected enough to be making these choices. And that's why you're successful. That's why you are where you're at. Because you connected with yourself. And then you're like, oh, I get this. I see this now. Like you were saying, you're more aware, like astrology or signs or whatever your thing is, the numbers, or you're so open and aware now that you're moving faster. Whereas before it was so slow because you weren't connecting yet with that.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, it's not going anywhere. I'm just pedaling and nothing's happening in here. Now you're like, zoosh, it's
That's
like
what it
so
was like, being on a hamster wheel. Yes. That makes
Yeah, and
sense.
so you it's like you got, not only did you get a reading from her, but you got a lesson in listening to yourself, because that's really what it's about. It's whether people go to, intuitives or not, it's about understanding who you are inside and your own guide. Because not everybody has the opportunity to go see somebody that's an intuitive, or a good intuitive. there's exactly. also a lot of crappy intuitives too. So I think that's really the message, you know, is what is our voice and what is our listening to that voice, you know, and understanding what it sounds like or what it feels like.
And that did help me too. She did help me to see too that I had intuition, you know, and different gifts, and that she encouraged me to tap into those things, because like she said, she had mentioned every now and again, I get someone like you, and I wasn't sure where she was going with that. I thought she meant like someone that just wasn't open, or, you know, that was closed off. But then, you know, there was another layer to that where it was like, I was someone that had different gifts that I wasn't tuned in. And so, you know, she encouraged me to explore those things. And as I did start following my path, those gifts started to reveal themselves to me. And I had to start learning about how to tap into that and understand them. So then I began journaling and writing these experiences down, and then learning the difference between like intuition and paranoia in business, because, you know, I was listening to your podcast, back to your podcast episode again with Chris. I know, you know, you had a clothing line, you had an experience, and you've done so much in business. You've got such an amazing background. And, you know, I was listening to that experience about your Bratz line. And, you know, when you get into business, you know, you're never quite sure, like if someone's on the level, if someone's on the up and up, and if you should be doing business with this person, are they double crossing me? And you don't want to live, you cannot live in a state of constant paranoia all the time when you're interacting with people. You have to be able to trust at points, but mm-hmm. you more so have to be able to trust your own intuition and yourself.
Yep. And it goes both ways. So when you have an experience that you get the red flags, or you have the feeling inside that this doesn't feel good, or the something on your arm stand up, or, you know, all those different things, and you don't listen to it, and then it doesn't go well, it's just a lesson. That's all it is. It's okay. Now I know what it feels like to have my intuitive, let's say, for example, for you, it might be, you know, hair on your arms going, I don't feel good. Now, you know, that's what happens when something's off. So you recognize it for next time, right? There's always got to be a time where something gets screwed up, so that next time, okay, I'm not doing that again, because I know that when my hair is go up like that and I feel icky, I need to pay attention to, is it this person's energy? Is it the business deal? Is it what we're doing? You know, let me take a step back and think about how I feel. And if you don't know logically, who cares? You take a step back and pause, because nothing needs to be hurried, you know, and then figure out what you think it is.
But, don't rush the process, trust the journey, right? Yes.
Yeah, and that's just as important as you feeling good about something, it going well. And you're like, okay, that's a lesson too. So it's practice, and especially in business, what you don't want to do is recreate, like you were talking about, paranoia or fear, the fear of, because it's the unknown, you don't know how things are going to turn out, you know, is it that, or is it the person? And those are different feelings. So you have gone through that with all your businesses. And I went through that younger too, like, well, you know, to be able to distinguish that. And in order to make those decisions, clearly, you have to have a good frame of mind, you have to be mentally healthy, physically healthy. Because, you know, right, when you're tired or you're thrown off, that's when we tend to make poor decisions.
Yes.
Or we let other people take over or control. Right?
That and then happened we're like, to me, yes. Shit. Yes. Well, decision fatigue, you know, like I experienced that during COVID, because I have an essential business, and I had decision fatigue like crazy. And I had over 100 employees, and my business is multifaceted. It involves transportation as well as 24-hour in-home care, all of these components. And, you know, it was just, I had to really focus on discipline, mental health, leading, and tapping into my intuition too. Like, I know, I'm sure you felt this, picking up on people's energy when you're with them and what that tells you when you're not with them after a meeting or after you've spent time with someone. That's everything to me. So like, that's kind of those are things that I learn to pay attention to when I'm spending time with someone and that time comes to an end and then I'm by myself at home and I'm reflecting, I'm kind of going over the day or the conversation that was had. My body tells me, it tells me exactly if I should be interacting with this person or not. Mm-hmm. So I've learned to pick up on that.
Oh yeah. That is such a good, and it's also good with people that are also kind of figuring out their profession also. So for example, I actually went to school before I started Bratz, which was my senior year of college. I was going to school for, to be a child psychologist.
Yeah.
So doing psychology. And so I had an internship at an elementary school and I worked with children and I love children. I love working with them. But I tell you, I would come home and I would be like, do I have a box of Chips Ahoy? Can I, not that I ate the whole box, but yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, don't talk to me. I need cookies. I need something to make. Like, I remember that actually thinking that and going, something's wrong. Like, this is not good for me because so empathic, so sensitive, wanting to solve everybody's problems, take care of everybody. And I decided I cannot be a counselor. I cannot do it. I can't, you know, I can't. So that's also something like in your, when you, like I said, when you're in a profession or when you're dealing with people too, to what gives you energy, what fuels you, what feels good and what depletes you. And that is not just with people's personalities, but it's also what you're doing career wise or what your passion profession is too.
Absolutely. Your business, everything you do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your body will tell you as long as you tune in, like your body is an mm-hmm. amazing tool. And yeah, I think that some people find their way to that understanding later in life, but it's never too late. You know what I mean? But I think being open to different experiences, like I was open to going with my friend and I was open to going, that was never something I don't think I would have did on my own had my friend not, you know, prompted me to come along. So I did that out of support for my friend. And I was open, like I said, open, but skeptical. I didn't go with any, I went with no expectations. So only with the prompt from Sherry, just what was I looking for, like mm-hmm. from that reading. And I had, all I could come up with was that I had experienced the loss of my brother. And, you know, that's what I gave her when we sat down. And what she gave me back was, you know, an interesting peek into my future unknowingly to me would all reveal itself all these years later. You know, it was just so, I was so fascinated by that. And it really just helped me tap into the knowing that there's more out there around us, you know, pay attention to the signs.
Yeah. I mean, and you created those outcomes because you were able to tap into your own abilities. And then you made those choices about those opportunities because you could say no to things too. So it's not, you know, you are the one with the power, but yeah. When somebody gives you that insight, then it makes you more aware when the opportunities come knocking, you're like, I think somebody mentioned this to me before and it was something that was positive. I'm going to open up. I'm going to look at this a little bit deeper instead of just like, whatever, you know,
yeah.
Passing it. So you really, you're the one that really, made the progress, you know?
Yeah. No, I appreciate that mm-hmm. insight too. And, you know, you've had, you've got to appear in an episode of The Real Housewives of Orange County. I know that you guys talked a little bit about that on your episode with Chris. What was that experience like?
It was a lot of fun. The ladies were very sweet. It was a blast. I mean, it was on the premiere of season 17. And what we did was it was a retreat. We set up kind of like a retreat and I facilitated, I have an intuition workshop that I do where I energetically choose people, match people and as partners. And then I do exercises with them. And you know, like with reality TV, not everybody wants to sit with somebody, but I don't know who wants to sit with who, and I don't care who wants to sit with who because I have a job to do. And so you're sitting with that person.
Yeah.
So don't complain. But, so yeah, I mean, being around the personalities was, you know, everybody was, it was wonderful. It was a lot of fun. And, I kind of liked bossing them around a little bit. You go here, you sit there, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's fun.
But we had a good time. And things came out, in those interactions that they didn't premiere because they ended up happening in the show later.
Interesting.
So they showed a lot of it, but they didn't show sort of the result of things. You know, like who was going to make up with who, because they can't show that in the beginning because then we wouldn't watch all the episodes.
Right. Yes.
Right? So.
Spoiler yeah. alert. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, how do you how do your retreats work? Where do you run your retreats at?
So the retreats are with my partner Kim with High Vibe Soul Sisters, and we're doing an upcoming one May 18th here in Orange County in Dana Point. And we've done I think 13 retreats together. But now we're starting to do, as our group has grown, we're doing larger retreats. So this one upcoming in May is actually, it's next weekend or 2 weekends. Yeah. We're going to have a sound bath. We've got yoga. We've got some speakers. We've got, you know, food. And we have an amazing group of women that come. This particular group is women that are coming from our collaborative book that we've put together, which is 35 Ways to Spark Joy.
Cool.
That book will be coming out in, I believe, September. We've kind of pushed the date because we're going to be giving, Kim and I are going to be giving away the book at Emmy's Gifting Suite in September.
Oh, wow.
So you get to give the books out to celebrities and they come in. And so that'll be fun. So we kind of push the date. But they're going to be the authors that are attending the retreat and their friends as well. So it's really an amazing way, you know, women get together. We do kind of the stuff that like you and I talk about, and it's a very safe, everybody's spiritual, and it's a safe space and everybody supports each other. It's wonderful. People that are like, well, I kind of wanted to do this, but I'm kind of afraid of what people think or what people say. And I'm like, who cares? Like, no one here cares.
Yeah. Just be open.
You could say the craziest thing. And we're like, oh yeah, that happened to me too. Like, we don't care.
Yeah. That's so fantastic.
You know, it's not that people where you feel like judged or, you know, we're too old for that. I can't do that. You know, it's like, and I feel like I have Tourette's anyways. I don't have Tourette's, but I have something. I mean, I call myself a blurter.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I get it because I just say there's no diagnosis for me. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no pill that I could take to shut me up.
Yeah, exactly. I love it, though. That's great. I think those retreats are fantastic. I know Chris Carlson does her retreats. And
she's got an incredible one. I think she's got it in Italy.
Yeah. Yes.
October, is it September, October? She's got one in Italy. I was dying to go. I kept talking to my husband. He's like, but it's not co-ed. I'm like, but that's okay, honey. I'll come home to you.
Yeah. Well, now I've discovered a connection of mine. I'm gearing up to go to Costa Rica to a men's retreat. So it's kind of like the same idea geared more towards men. We'll do a little bit of jujitsu, some hiking and various things like that. I train jujitsu and the connection of mine, Jeremy Jackson, he used to be on the show Baywatch. Mm-hmm. He has a partner out there that he's teamed up with for the retreat and they run that together. His name's Terry. Okay. He's an ex-pro fighter. And him and his wife are out there in Costa Rica and they run these, it's called the Balanced Man. And so, once I learned about Chris Carlson's retreats, I'm like, well, there should be something like this for men, you know, geared towards kind of some of the same idea, you know, just being open to, you know, just healing and kind of those bonding experiences are important. Mm-hmm. You know, men carry a lot with them too. A lot of folks, you know, in the entrepreneurial space, they don't have an outlet to just kind of vent and in a safe space, you know, without judgment and be vulnerable. And, you know, I've worked in the mental health space for almost 30 years now. And so like for me, like just competition and hierarchy just doesn't exist. When you're helping people and you're of service to others, it's about the mission, not, you know, trying to one-up anybody else. So for me, it's just hard to be in a space with people that are like that. Like I said, my body picks up on energy and I just know, like, you know.
I shut down. I don't know about you, but I shut down.
Yeah.
I just go ahead. Like,
that's,
I don't have.
I do. I give it away.
I don't have the energy and I don't care.
Nope.
Same. I don't need to be, yeah, and I'm not interested. To me, that's not the level of depth or connection that I want to be around. So I just sort of shut down. Like, anybody got a book? Just like, I'll read.
Yep, I do the same thing. I just go in the other direction and I just, you know, I just give it to them. Like,
yeah, here, take it. You go stand up. You do the thing.
And I'm great at putting people on a pedestal too. So like I said, like I've done various things. Like I volunteer with like the Special Olympics and things like that. And you're just celebrating people. You're celebrating people and helping them see their gifts and their abilities and helping them kind of just, you know, feel safe around your presence. And that's all you can do. That's all I'm about. So I think like getting involved with a group that's, you know, a group of guys that are open to kind of just leaving the competition at the door and getting together to just kind of, you know, relax and just be vulnerable, share experiences and share stories. You know, that's important. You know, male suicide rates are just through the roof right now. And people are just carrying baggage that no one knows about. And it's really important for people to, you know, men and women to find their collective group to share experiences with and support one another. It's so important.
Yeah, that's such a good point. That's such a good point. It would be nice if there was a co-ed one too. I don't know. You know, or something.
Well, I think you guys need to connect with Jeremy and Terry. You, Chris, yeah. Jeremy and Terry, get something co-ed going in Costa Rica.
Yeah, because I would like to do some fighting or cut some trees down or do something kind of physical too. I mean, we do a lot of fun stuff too, the girly stuff, the yoga and the meditation, the sound bath. But some of us want to get some aggression out, you know, get some, let's kick some butt or do something.
Jiu-jitsu is amazing. And, you know, we'll be doing some meditation and some sound baths and different things like that. It's pretty a pretty comprehensive experience. I'm looking very forward to it. I've never been to Costa Rica. And so
I haven't either. And when are you leaving?
I leave May 17th.
Okay, you're going to have to, we're going to have to, I want to hear all about it when you get back. How long are you going for? A couple weeks?
I think it's the 17th, I want to say, through the 25th.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm looking very forward to it. And
you can show me pictures of all your manly stuff. And then I'll show you pictures of Kim and I eating crepes and doing some bath and having our good
day. I shared your promo on Instagram, you and Kim. I shared yours in my story today for your women.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yeah, you were talking about the crepes. I was like, I wonder if we're going to have crepes at my
event. All I care about is the crepes. Isn't that funny?
I'm looking forward to the food. Too. Yeah, I'm a hungry guy at all times, so I'm always looking forward to food. Yes, but I think you would like jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu actually means gentle art.
And, oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, when I found my way into jiu-jitsu, I was looking for self-empowerment. You know, I had faced a lot of adversity through my business. This was around 2020 during COVID. And I found my way to jiu-jitsu and connected with the folks at the school that I was training at on a very deep level, the instructors. I became friends also with the women's empowerment instructor. They had a whole separate women's empowerment gig. And I opened up my studio to the women's empowerment instructor. She came and trained my female employees. And then we did a co-ed thing also about bystander intervention and how to deal in a situation if someone, you know, comes in. We were dealing with, you know, through COVID, some hostile times. People were just acting out and people's behavior was unpredictable. And I wanted to empower my team with the tools to defend themselves. And then also at the school, I footed the bill for the women's empowerment class for all my employees, all my female employees to go to one of her in-services at the school. Oh, wow. And so that was important to me too. I had found out one of my female employees was in a an abusive relationship, and that information made its way back to me, and I thought, you know, there's people in situations they don't know how to get out of them, and they don't even have the tools or the resources to empower themselves. And I'm one of those people that, like, if I pick up a book, you know, I always tell everybody I'm constantly giving out Christine Carlson's like, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, The Daily Calendar, and Don't Sweat the Small Stuff Men, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff Teens, like everything. I'm giving always, if something has made an impact on me, I like to share it with others.
I told her we need to do something for animals. I'm like, where's the animal one?
Yes, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff Pets, of course.
Because she already sent me a picture of Bodie with his with the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff t-shirt on it, because he just got fixed in my Abby, because my Abby and her Bodie are like, he's the cutest golden you've ever seen, and she's the prettiest golden you've ever seen. They're around the same age.
Yeah.
So she put a t-shirt on him, and it says, Don't Sweat the Small. I'm like, we need dog clothes. Yep. We need books for dogs.
Absolutely. I think it's fantastic. Yes. But that's just, you know, like that's what jiu-jitsu did for me also, was it gave me that sense of empowerment as I learned from the people that were able to really walk me down that path with what jiu-jitsu was really about. It was about, you know, self-discovery and on a deeper level. It wasn't about fighting by any means. It was about empowerment, and that gave a lot to me. And so when you experience something like that, you want to share. It's like your intuition, you're an intuitive coach. You want to share that with people because that's your gift. And so that's, you know, when I was receiving gifts like that, it's just like for me to share stories of my experiences, like with you or Christine Carlson, like I like to share with the female audience or female friends of mine, make your way to these ladies. They have gifts to share with you, and they can empower you and help you open, you know, new doors for yourself. How does someone contact you for an intuitive reading if someone wanted to open those doors?
Well, they can either message me on Instagram, Lisa Hushar 10, or they can send me an email, lisa@thesoulsgifts.com. So either way, pretty easy. I'm accessible.
Yeah.
So reach out and I can give them some information on my process, and I have a calendar and I can book an appointment with them and go from there.
Amazing. You're so easy to talk to. And it reminded me when we talked on the phone of when I met Chris, when we talked on the phone for the first time, it was like a feeling of friendship from the beginning. You know what I mean? I like that. I like when I meet people like that. It's very calming when you get to meet someone, you know, and these times it's so different. The time, you know what I mean? Times change.
Yeah. And not have to think about what we're saying or how is it going to come out or how are they going to perceive me, or that's too much work. Just let it flow and right?
Yes. And I think that it's great for, you know, for men like Christine and energies like yourself. I know a lot of men that are able to kind of tap into that masculine feminine energy. And these guys are jiu-jitsu fighters, they're UFC fighters, and they are not afraid to to tap in and understand that everyone carries the masculine feminine energy and how to blend that and how to find balance with that and kind of celebrate and, you know, empower each other as men, but also empower the women in your lives too. So important. You know, for everybody to be lifting each other up and sharing.
Do they, with the exercises, I know you were saying it's more about, what did you call it again?
Jiu-jitsu?
The name of it with the meaning?
Gentle art.
Yeah, gentle art. But it's more like, I don't know why I'm thinking like, it's more like karate stuff, right?
Well, it's more, there are, it's not quite the same. It's gentle art, but it's not quite karate, but I see where you're going with that. But yes, you can take it in that direction if you want to go that route. Like many people want to explore, that becomes a journey. So like I began to, become more offensive than defensive at one point, because with you have to check your ego, you know, when you're training and you're beginning to get your tools of empowerment, and you know, you become. I was becoming too empowered, where I had to dial it back. Yeah, so I was I had to wind that down because I had a lot cooking and I had a lot of situations that were coming at me very fast, and I was trying to navigate, balancing my mental health, running my business, and handling, just various relationships and situations in my life, and then factor in the jujitsu. I wasn't becoming so gentle while I was learning the techniques, you know what I mean? So it was like, I kind of had to balance all those things. It's a lot of mind work when you get into something like jujitsu, because like I said, it's about finding your tools of empowerment. And then you learn those principles. While you're learning the principles, you apply them in your life. Like, I was able to apply those principles into my business, where it was like, once you realize, like, you know how to defend yourself physically, if someone's listening that's ever been maybe assaulted or had these things happen to them at any point in their life from childhood, these types of situations can happen to you as an adult too. You know, people are often taken advantage of in various situations, and with unwanted scenarios, taking place, sexual assault, et cetera, things like this. It becomes very empowering when you learn the tools to protect your body. It's a lot to navigate, a lot
so
to take.
So me having a big mouth and yelling at somebody, that's just not enough.
It helps. But you want to preserve your energy to use the jujitsu and the techniques. Yeah.
So I'd love to learn that. It's actually really interesting to me. I didn't see it that way. I perceived it differently. So
yeah. When I was scouting out the schools, it was interesting because, growing up with my brothers, we used to play as kids. And so, we had nunchucks, and like me and my brothers, we would play, Chuck Norris and Bruce Lee. I'm sure you remember those guys. Mm-hmm. And, it was fun. We always, they were 5 years older than me, so they always had the advantage, but, we wrestled all the time and played like that. And so, that was the only way I really knew how to defend myself, was against two older brothers, where it was just beat the hell out of each other to the death until our parents, separated us. But, as you get older, and then I found my way into my field, within the mental health field, it was, more about helping people feel safe. So those were areas of myself that I was tapped into, kind of fighting and all of these things. And so, as experiences played out for me, during COVID times, like with my business and people becoming aggressive and threatening, I had threats made against me, and people coming into my space, and I thought, wow, I could really use some self-defense training, because as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, you're often sometimes baited into conversations, and then they get heated, and then people are looking for a lawsuit. And then if they can provoke you or put their hands on you, I didn't have the tools to protect myself against people like that. So once those situations started to play out for me, that's when I was like, I need to look into some sort of protection for myself. If I was ever baited into a situation like that or had to physically defend myself, I want the professional training in that, to navigate those situations. And so that's when I began scouting out the schools, and the first two that I went with just did not resonate with me, because there's various schools where it's much like what you described, where it's karate or it's ultimate like street fighting, and everyone's just, beating the hell out of each other right off the cuff. That wasn't what I was looking for. Ultimately, I landed on the mats at the school that best served me. And they started, like I said, jujitsu means gentle art, and you're starting from the ground up, learning the principles and the techniques, and you're learning more about what that is and how to apply it, not only in a self-defense, from a self-defense standpoint, but mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. That was important to me. And so I knew that was the school for me. And then I began, like I said, I began relationships with those instructors. So that was the best path for me. And I think that if anyone's looking to get involved in a school or scout those out, it's best to do your research and, you know, and also make sure that that you vibe with the coaches or the trainers. I know for you being an intuitive coach, I'm sure it's important for you to vibe with someone that's hired you or using your service, you know, for your retreats or your coaching platform. I'm sure you'd want to vet each other out and make sure you're the appropriate fit.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm very transparent. So I feel it. I mean, I know instantly, so I only can be authentic. So.
Yeah, exactly. I get that.
Yeah. Or then we're going to have a problem.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You wouldn't be legitimate. It wouldn't be authentic.
Right. And I think I'd be fake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That doesn't suit you. That just doesn't suit you at all. So I appreciate that about you though. That's why I feel, you know, like I said, I pick up on energy too, and it's always such a blessing. I feel like when I get to interact with someone that just, it feels clean, it feels good. And it's not, you know, it's not every day you get to, you know, you get to experience people like that. It's not an all day, everything, not an all day, every day experience, you know? So
right. I feel the same about you for sure.
Well, thank
yeah.
you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's been such a pleasure to get to chat with you today.
Yes. Oh my gosh, so much fun. We could go on and on and on and on.
Oh, I could. Yes, that would be easy. We should do we're going to have to have you back and chat more. We should get Chris on the show together, talk mm-hmm. about various topics. Yeah, those experiences. I know when you were talking about your Bratz line, your clothing line, that you had mentioned, that's a whole separate podcast. I think that we could have a couple of a few podcasts together.
It's probably one of the best things that ever happened to me, and it's probably one of the saddest things that ever happened to me creatively.
I get that.
And I think I was 22 years old.
Wow.
So it's like you hit it early, you know, like, and I channeled that, and then that it doesn't go the way that you want it to go. So
yeah.
Well, because Lisa, of the powers that be, there are more powerful people out there that have more money and more power. That's a whole.
Well, that's not, there's the platform for our whole other podcast, because, you know, it's interesting because I have this conversation come up a lot where people like to kind of copy the blueprint, you know, I guess, so to speak. And so like you kind of develop the thing, but there's people that have various resources that are out of your reach maybe at that time. But back to authenticity and, you know, be an original, not a copycat, you know, kind of deal. And, you know,
and the source, look at the source. Where did it come from?
Yes.
Like, right. In all the situations, like you can tell whether it's authentic or not, when you look at the source and the person and the creation.
That's what I think too. And that's been a topic that's been popping up a lot for me lately too, is where I know a lot of very competitive people that copy. And I think that it's interesting if you consider yourself a competitive person, but you copy, because doesn't that kind of negate the competition and you automatically place yourself in second if you're the copy? If you're not the original, then you're in second place. So it kind of negates the competition from my perspective, you know, like for the situation that you were in, if that was the original, the copycat, like you said, that's going to show through, because when someone kind of takes your thing, it's not their thing. So that's going to show through, you know?
Yeah. That's- and it didn't, I mean, it evolved in a very different way than it started.
Right. Uh-oh. Yes. Then it started from your original blueprint.
Correct. Correct. It ended up differently. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But you're the original blueprint.
That's a whole other thing.
Yep. That's all you need to know.
I'll need like some tequila, some vodka. No,
yeah. You know what? We'll go over all this at the retreat. At the retreat, we're going to craft together for the co-ed retreat. You bring your husband. We'll get everybody involved. Yes, this will be a good one. So Lisa, what are some tips that you could offer the audience on how to tap into their gifts, their tools, their intuition?
I mean, just a couple things, which is like, you know, pay attention. I brought that up a little bit earlier. Pay attention how you feel. Take notice, right? If you're feeling uncomfortable, if you get, you know, any kind of cold or hot on your arms. There's lots of like physical sensations. So just take note of those. So it's not always just how you feel. Another thing is, you know, your mental health. Make sure that you stay balanced and you take care of yourself, the self-care. You can't make good decisions. You can't tap into your intuition if you're not taking care of yourself. And you did a lot of writing. That's, I always tell people too, if they are starting to feel like a calling or a pull, start writing. See what comes out in writing. There's like automatic writing, or, you know, sometimes you write stuff down, you're like, oh, I wrote that. So start doing some writing, and get around like-minded people, get around people that are spiritual, that are creative, that are intuitive. And, that will help with some practice, and, you can brainstorm together, and it helps with like validation. You can say, well, you know, intuitively I'm feeling this, or I'm seeing this, and you can get some feedback from somebody that's like-minded saying, you know what, you have a really good point, or I think you're right, or so that you're not putting yourselves in situations where you feel like you might be judged, like you said earlier, you know, you're afraid to say something that you feel or think or hear because you're afraid that somebody's going to say, you know, you're crazy, you're whatever, you know. You've got no gifts, you're wrong, yeah. All those things.
Right, or so, people want to bring religion into it and debate that, and that's a whole nother segue.
It has nothing to do with religion. Not.
I know. I've had that thrown at me so many times when I talk about various experiences and spirituality, where it always goes back in the other direction, and then I just tap out of those conversations. Like you said, like we both said earlier, we just fade out from it. It's like I just check right out as soon as it goes in that direction.
It has. I have people that are all walks of life, all religions, all races, all political views. The commonality is love, is compassion, it's yes. Serving others, right? It's you know, caring for others and guiding others. That has nothing to do with what religion you're at. It's irrelevant.
And I think that's beautiful.
Humanity.
You said that so beautifully, and like I had the pleasure in as a young person just getting into the mental health field at 18 years old. I've sat at so many, working with various families and individuals over the years, I've sat at every human's dinner table and share, you know, broke bread with every race, religion, and cultural background. And it's been such a blessing because I get to experience perspectives on everybody's, and I'm open to all of it. I love learning about other people's spiritual journeys and you know, culture. It's very important to me.
And it all goes back to the same thing, right? It all goes back to love and to compassion and like that. That's the commonality.
Well, yeah. So it was always such a blessing for me, you know, getting to connect with all of the families, the races, the religions, and the cultures. I think, like you said, to your point, it's just about connection, you know, community, connectedness, companionship, and just experiencing life with good humans and sharing your gifts. And I very much appreciate that about you, and I appreciate your time today. And I want to share your platforms with the audience. You have your website, you have your Instagram handle. We'll put all of these links up in the episode. I'm very much looking forward to connecting with you again for another amazing intuitive reading.
Sounds great. I'm up for it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful Lisa Husher, thank you so much for joining us in the studio today.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys, that's a wrap.